The 1-2 from Leclerc. Finishes off a 1-2-3 ninth. And what a Texas turnaround here in game three. From losing 9-1 in game two to winning 3-1 and retaking the lead in the series.
Texas Rangers take game three of the World Series last night in Phoenix, beating the D-backs 3-1. Rangers scoring all three of their runs in the third inning, capped by a two-run homer from Corey Seager. John Gray got the win for the Rangers, went three scoreless out of the pen. Max Scherzer pitched very well, two hits, two walks, and three scoreless innings, but had to leave due to back tightness, and the Ranger bullpen was great again. Rangers up 2-1. Game four of the series is tonight, first pitch at 7:03 on Fox in Phoenix, and the Rangers, Max Scherzer, the back tightness, and Aroldis Garcia, who was the MVP of the ALCS, had to leave the game with some discomfort in his left side, and if that's an oblique injury, that can linger, so that is huge to watch. He's been absolutely a beast in the playoffs, so the Rangers may have won the game, but may have been a costly win, and we'll see if Garcia can go tonight, and if he doesn't, somebody's going to pick up the slack for the Rangers, D-backs, in what it looks to be pretty much close to a must-win tonight, try to even out series at 2-2 at home. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. The Kansas Volleyball Association announced their all-state tournament teams for 2023. From the area, Beloit's Addison Budke was selected for the third straight year. She's a junior, so all 3 years she's been on all-state tournament team. Miley Brown for the second year in a row in 3A. She'll take her talents to Fort Hays State University. Class 2A, Cameron Hutchison was selected for the third straight year for Smith Center as all-tourney performer, and Gracie Kirchhoff for the second time. Carly Brummer and Aubrey Gingler of St. John's Tipton were picked for the 1A Division II all-state tournament team, each for the first time. For a full look at all the selections, visit ncksports.com. All right, coming up, we have high school football on Friday night. A reminder, we have locker room chats coming up tomorrow. We'll talk to the football coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge at 5:15 tomorrow evening on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com. And then Thursday at 5:15, we'll talk to the football coach of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills. And if you miss any of those locker room chats before or this week, you can go to the KD Country 94 locker room chat podcast page there on our website, KDCountry94.com. Coming up on Friday, the Beloit Trojans will be on the road in the 2A playoffs at Hoisington. Hoisington ranked third in the state, undefeated 9-0, and Beloit is 5-4. Last time these two teams played was a couple years ago in 2021. Hoisington came to Beloit and won 7-6. The year prior, Hoisington beat Beloit in Hoisington 26-20, a really tight game. And then the state semifinals, Beloit was blanked in that one 26-0. So last time Beloit was at Hoisington, they gave them a really tough game. And I know a lot of Hoisington fans in the stands were surprised by that. Beloit was very physical with them. Hoisington's 9-0, but once I started studying them yesterday and I look at their schedule, they have not played a very good schedule. So I'm not saying they're not a good team. They have a very talented quarterback who, for once, Hoisington has somebody that can throw and run the ball. Usually they're a running team. They do have weapons, but their best win is over Pratt, a 3A school, who went 4-5 and already is out of the playoffs. So it is interesting to see who Hoisington has played. They have some big wins, blowout wins. Haven't had too many close games, so I don't know how to really shake that one out. I'll know more when I talk to both coaches later this week. Beloit at Hoisington on KD Country 94 and KD Country 94.com. And eight-man action, Osborne hosts Real Vista, an eight-man Division II playoffs, second round there in regional play, and we'll have that with pregame from Osborne at 6:30, kickoff at 7, and Dusty will have the call coming up from Osborne for that one. If Osborne wins, more than likely they will have a matchup against the, two- or three-time champion Axtell Eagles in the sectional round. And Sylvan Lucas is still alive in the playoffs. Lincoln had a heck of a try there against Rollins County in the first round of the playoffs. For a complete look at all of the playoff brackets, you can check out ncksports.com. Coming up, we have Monday Night Football from last night. Plus, I'll try to get Chiefs fans to come down from that big old cliff they're about to jump off of.
I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. When your vehicle has a problem or needs maintenance, Kiefer Brothers is your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Whether you need tires, brakes, batteries, belts, hoses, air conditioning, a transmission, engine, or just an oil change, there's only one thing you need to remember. We fix everything. Kiever Brothers Automotive delivers fast, friendly auto repair, and we fix everything. Find us just south the courthouse in Beloit and online at KieferBrothers.com.
And I didn't mean to leave him out, but Smith Center in Class 1A is in the second round of the playoffs, and they'll host Marion coming up on Friday night. Smith Center with a fairly easy win in round one. So we've got Smith Center, Sylvan Lucas, we've got Beloit and Osborne. Those are the teams from our area still alive in the high school football playoffs.
As they hand to Gibbs, and Gibbs breaks it. Touchdown, what a night for the rookie. Wow.
Jahmyr Gibbs starting to get some carries. David Montgomery is out. He's hurt, and he's taking advantage. The rookie from Alabama, 152 yards rushing and a touchdown, and the Lions win 26-14 despite throwing a pick six and fumbling ball inside the two. They still won. They were clearly the better team. Jimmy Garoppolo did not have a good night. Devontae Adams is probably hoping, really, really praying that he gets traded today because he only had one catch last night. Kind of a bummer for Devontae Adams. You leave Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, you go to Vegas, you want to play with your quarterback from college and Derek Carr, and then after 1 year, he's traded. Or he leaves. Not traded. He left, basically. And they didn't want him back. And now he has to work with Jimmy Garoppolo and Brian Hoyer. So, I would think the Raiders could get something decent back for Devontae Adams, I would imagine. He's a very good player, but, boy, he's got to be frustrated right now. Raiders are 3-5. The Lions are 6-2. All right. Coming up, K-State men's basketball team suspending one of their better players. And guess what? James Harden finally has been traded. But I want to focus on the Chiefs for a moment. By the way, do you know that the number one fan in North Central Kansas of Jason Bean and the founder of the Jason Bean fan club is Max Pounds? Do you know that? I just want to throw that out there. Just see if Max is around. I just want to check because I have to admit, you know, I was defending Jason Bean down in Oklahoma State game in regards to he wasn't the reason they lost. Max said no, he is the reason they lost, and I agree to disagree. He agrees to disagree with me. And then I said yesterday, tongue in cheek, well, shouldn't you say that Jason Bean won the game against Oklahoma? I mean, you put it all on him when he loses. Shouldn't you give him all the credit when they win? And he did come through, 4th and 6, drove him right down the field and scored. And I know he basically almost lost them the game with 2 interceptions, almost threw a pick six. But at the end of the day, you know, if we're going to erase all the good stuff he did at Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. right, and say in clutch time he didn't come through at Oklahoma State, shouldn't we be able to erase his bad plays in the fourth quarter prior to the game-winning drive and say Jason Bean won the game? What do you think, Max? What do you think, Max? What do you think? Come on now. What do you think? So anyway, Max is the number one fan and founder of the Jason Bean fan club. I have been told that. Yeah. So let's talk some Chiefs. I am close to getting off of Twitter, X, whatever the hell you call it now. I don't know how else to put this. I'm going to try to do this as nicely as I possibly can because I don't want to offend anybody. But the collective IQ of people on Twitter has got to be the lowest it's ever been in the history of mankind. I mean, I see some of the dumbest. I mean, I don't even see anything smart anymore, hardly ever, on Twitter anymore. I don't know if Elon Musk just weeded out all the smart people, but it's just ridiculous and stupid. Like, the latest thing that Chiefs fans are bitching about is that they're leaving Thursday for Germany while the Dolphins are leaving today. Why the hell do you care? Like, you don't even, like, why don't you wait and see if the Chiefs win the game? And then if you want to do your revisionist history and rip Andy Reid. You know, I don't know. I'm just going to throw this out here. I know it's a crazy concept. Perhaps Andy Reid and the team knows what they're doing because these idiotic people that throw this crap on Twitter, do they know that the Chiefs went to London just a few years back and left on a Thursday and beat the living tar out of the Lions? Oh, yeah. And here's another thing. I don't know if you heard about this, but Mahomes had the flu. And it's some sickness is going through the Chiefs. Don't you think they're better off staying in America for a couple more days and resting up, sleeping in their own beds before they ride on a plane all of them together in tight quarters for a 10-hour flight to Frankfurt, Germany? I mean, the people on Twitter are, some of these people are collectively, I think a rock is smarter. I do. It's just like, what, do you have no time in your life? You got to get on Twitter and complain about the Chiefs and what day they are departing for a road game. What is wrong with you? The Chiefs lost to the Broncos. I like what Nick Wright said. He goes, well, it is hard to beat the same team 17 times in a row for 8 years straight. It's like the sky is falling because the Chiefs lost to the Broncos. The Chiefs last year lost to the Colts, a horrible loss. This loss is not a good loss, obviously, in Denver to a team that's not great. They had a horrible loss to the Tennessee Titans a few years back and won the Super Bowl. This happens every year. And as I said yesterday, the Bills lost to the Jets and the Patriots. The Eagles have lost to the Jets. The Niners lost to the Vikings in Minnesota where they were 2-4. The Niners lost to a backup quarterback and a third-string quarterback and a backup running back in Cleveland. I could go on and on. Every single team has bad losses. I mean, Jacksonville, the Chiefs beat. That's one of the teams they're tied with at 6-2. The Chiefs have a tiebreaker over the Jaguars at 6-2. They haven't played the Ravens. They haven't played the Dolphins. But if they beat the Dolphins on Sunday, could Chiefs fans just chill out? And even if they don't, it's not the end of the world. So if right now, if the season ended today, even though they lost to the Broncos, they're the number one seed in the AFC. Did you know that? They're still the number one seed in the AFC. They have the second best record in football. They won six games in a row. If you win six out of every seven games, you're going to be the number one seed in the AFC. You're going to have home field advantage. You're going to probably host the AFC title game for an unprecedented record sixth year in a row. I mean, Chiefs fans, you have become the New England Patriots except you might be worse now. Because I don't even think the Patriots expected to win every freaking game. I mean, it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Chiefs fans, what is wrong with you? Do you even, is it just the bandwagon fans that didn't know Chiefs football existed before Mahomes became quarterback? Are those the people that are the silly people out there on X? Because if you know anything about Chiefs football, you got to know that what happened to the Chiefs the other day happened on a weekly basis before Mahomes. There was weeks Alex Smith, the Chiefs didn't score points. They stunk in the red zone. They lost games 24-9. There was a year, I don't know if you bandwagon Chiefs fans understand this. There was a year the Chiefs went 2-14, had the number one pick in the draft, and there was no quarterback to go get. And there was Eric Fisher, was the number one overall pick. I mean, dear Lord, what do you want? This team is not perfect. They have flaws, as does every single bleeping team in this league. The Eagles are 7-1, have the best record in football. I'm not convinced they're the best team in football.
No.
They have struggled to beat the Commanders not once but twice. They lost to the Jets with Zach Wilson at quarterback. Guess what? You know who did go to New York and win? The Chiefs. Well, they only won by three. They won! They took a knee at the one. Actually, Mahomes slid at the one, or it would have been a 10-point win. I mean, what do Chiefs fans truly want? Perfection? Well, now you need to go get checked out, because are you perfect? I mean, seriously, are you perfect? Can I go ahead and come to your house and criticize every single little thing? You know what? You're leaving work at the wrong time. What do you mean? I have to be there at 8 and I'm leaving at 7:30. It takes 15 minutes to get there. You really should get there earlier so that you're prepared. Because that's what people are saying about the trip to Frankfurt. Well, they really need to get acclimated and adjusted to the jet lag. Yeah, because Andy Reid has never dealt with a team going overseas. You don't think he probably talked to his players and said, hey guys, what do you think? You know what? We'd rather sleep in our own beds for a couple more days, and then we go over to Germany. We'll be fresh, ready to go. And we will find out. If the Dolphins crush the Chiefs, maybe people will have something to that. Maybe it has nothing to do with it. Maybe the Dolphins just have the better game plan. Or the Chiefs go over and they win. And Chiefs fans act like Chiefs fans act like the Chiefs are like 4-4 and struggling to make ends meet. They act like they're the Broncos at 3-5. There's more doomsayers, I think, with Chiefs fans at 6-2 than there are Bronco fans that are doomsayers about their team. Now, granted, some of them have given up on the Broncos. It is just ridiculous and ludicrous that there are Chiefs fans actually out on social media whining about what day. I just absolutely about lost it. I was like, what is wrong with people? So let's try to put this. It's so sad and pathetic, but yet comical, all at the same time. So let me try to. I know facts get in the way of truth. What? It doesn't, but that's how some people are. You know what the Chiefs' record was after eight games last year?
I'm going to say 6-2.
They were 6-2. Who won the Super Bowl last year?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Who hosted the AFC title game?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Thank you. Do you know what the Chiefs' record was in 2021 after eight games?
7-1, wouldn't it?
4-4.
I was thinking the year before. That's
2021.
Yeah.
They went all the way to the AFC title game, and if not for Patrick Mahomes' really poor second half, they were blowing out the Bengals in the first half. They still made the AFC title game and hosted it, and they started a year 4-4. And that was on the heels of getting blasted by the Titans, barely beating the hapless Giants team. They got blown out by the Titans. The first year they won the Super Bowl, they... wasn't that the first year when Mahomes had the dislocated kneecap? He missed a game.
Yeah.
Then he came back for Tennessee. The Chiefs lost. Horrible, horrible game. Blew the game. And the Chiefs won 9 of the next 10, I believe, and won the Super Bowl. And they were 6-4 at the time. 1 year, the Chiefs were 5-3 after eight games with Mahomes at quarterback. They lost, but they were 5-3, but they had lost three of their last four. And where did the Chiefs go? AFC title game. Then there are people starting to say, well, what's wrong with Mahomes? He had the flu. Like, there's some moron. I'm going to say these names loosely because Rob Parker, who put something out there last night about Mahomes just isn't as good as he once was, and have we seen the peak of Mahomes' career? I'm like, dear God, did you not watch the week before when he threw for 350 yards and three touchdowns in the first half against the team that some people thought was going to make the Super Bowl? What kind? Do you have no memory of anything? I mean, literally 7 days before the Bronco game, Mahomes lit up the L.A. Chargers, who are a better team than the Broncos. I was front row and center and saw it with my own damn eyes. What is wrong with people? Oh, dear God. He's human. He was sick. Still had the guts to go out and play. And lo and behold, they lost. What is wrong with the Chiefs? Aren't they trying to win, Dusty? I just don't think they played really bad. I think they were better than that. Well, guess what? They are. But everybody has a bad day, don't they? I bet not every single day is hunky-dory and you're picking tulips out of the garden every day and the weather's perfect and your life is perfect every day, right? All these people expecting the Chiefs to be perfect. Well, Kelsey went to the World Series game on Friday night. What the hell's wrong with him? Dude, these players have flown to different places two nights before a game before and nobody said a word. You happen to see him on Fox's TV coverage of the World Series, and you're like, what is he doing there? He's supposed to be in Denver. No, he's not. He don't have to be in Denver till technically Sunday, but Saturday. So I'm sure he went back, and Andy Reid and all of them approved it. It wasn't like he went behind anybody's back. And if he was, do you think he'd really just be out there in the open for cameras to shoot him in the stands? I mean, people, use your brain and connect the dots.
He just wasn't leaving like Dennis Rodman did
right
during the NBA Finals.
Yes. So, this is so ridiculous. It's just absolutely comical. And Chiefs fans, you're creating, and not and listen. If you're a Chiefs fan out there, it's not one of these people. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the, I guess you call them the crazies, or whatever. But
it's bordering it for sure.
It is
some of the stuff that I even see from people I know on Facebook.
Me too.
What are you talking about?
Do you understand that there's 31 other NFL teams? Do you watch any other football at all? Do you just watch the Chiefs games and then just check out? I mean, don't have a fantasy football league, so at least that, you know, one thing about fantasy football, at least makes you look at the rest of the league. You do understand there's 31 teams that are trying to knock off the Chiefs. You do understand the Chiefs are the reigning Super Bowl champions. You do understand the Chiefs are going to get everybody's best shot, right? I mean, you do understand that, right? You do understand that the Chiefs are the top of the mountain, and everybody wants to knock him off. This is where we wanted to be, Chiefs fans. And now we sit here and we just, we totally ruin it. Like, we can't sit back and enjoy this. The Chiefs, without Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, week one, lost by 1 point to a team that is 6-2 and has the second best record in NFC. They won six in a row, including a win over the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. They beat the Jets on the road, who's 4-3 and could make the playoffs. Okay. The Jets have some good wins, as I talked about already. The Eagles and the Bills. And you're going to sit here and whine and moan because the Chiefs, I mean, the Chiefs are moaning, fans were moaning even going in the Denver game. Well, our short yardage is horrible. Our receivers suck. Dude, we're 6-1. But whatever. So I'm trying to bring people off the ledge here, which is insane that I even have to say this when this team is 6-2. You do know that Patrick Mahomes had never lost a division road game in his career. You do know that Patrick Mahomes had never lost to the Broncos. He was 12-0. You did realize, right, that he wasn't going to go his whole career undefeated in divisional road games? Because if you thought he was never going to lose to a divisional road opponent in his career, you are beyond naive. What Mahomes and the Chiefs did to the Broncos is unheard of. 16 straight wins, 8 years without losing to the Broncos, and you play them twice every year? What's even crazier is that Mahomes had never lost a road divisional game. And some of these years, the Chargers have been pretty good. The Raiders and Broncos are rivals that know them well. The Chiefs always find a way to win the close games. This is why we're so spoiled, because we rarely see it. Yeah. This is only the fourth loss. This is insane. Chiefs fans, this is how freaking spoiled you are. This is only the fourth loss of more than one score in Patrick Mahomes' 102-game career. Only four times, less than 4% of his career, has he lost by more than one touchdown. What is wrong with him? He had played 41 straight games where he either won or lost by eight or less. So that's the first time in 42 games that he lost by more than one score. And you know what the last one was? I don't know for sure if the Super Bowl or not, but it's obviously 42 games. That we're talking three seasons, so it probably was the Super Bowl against the Bucks. I don't know that for sure. People act like the Chiefs can't fix this. Do you study history at all? Like, I mean, recent history. Like, I don't know. Go back to 2019, the first time they won the Super Bowl, right? When they beat the 49ers, their defense was a problem. New defensive coordinator. They lost the 18 AFC title game to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Defense was horrible, right? Fire Sutton, thank God. And you brought in Spags. And after 10 games, the Chiefs were 6-4. They played horrible against Tennessee. And what do you know? Spags and the Chiefs defense. It doesn't happen overnight, especially a new defensive coordinator, bringing new players, this and that, whatever else. And the Chiefs figured it out, became a serviceable defense. Okay? They also picked up a lineman off the street to play starting left guard in the Super Bowl, for crying out loud, during the season, Steve Wisniewski. Yeah. And they won a Super Bowl. Then their best year they ever had, they were 14-1, and then they rested their starters, lost to the Chargers with Chad Henne at quarterback, 14-2. They were the favorite to win the Super Bowl, lost their right and left tackle, played the Buccaneers. Buccaneers whipped them, as we know, 31-9. That was a team that's supposed to win it all, right? Well, it's hard to go back to back. Then the year after, it was our DBs are bad, our offensive line isn't good enough. Even though we retooled the whole offensive line. Then last year it was special teams. Special teams going to kill us, right? The rookie corners are going to catch up and bite us. And what do you know? Andy Reid and the Chiefs. I mean, we were even saying that about special teams. Dusty and I both, and we were wrong. I mean, we were right up to that point, but the Chiefs proved us wrong, right? Now, we were talking that about week 15. We're week 8 right now, week 9. We're not even halfway through the season, for crying out loud. And the Chiefs are 6-2. They're not 4-4. And now this year, what's the complaint? The receivers suck.
Yeah.
That's all the people want to talk about. The receivers stink. Okay, I'm not going to say that they're not the weak part of the team. I don't disagree with that. But you don't think the Chiefs are going to figure this out come January? Because I think they will. You know why? Because they have figured it out every single freaking year with Mahomes at quarterback and Andy Reid as a head coach. So why do you doubt these people? Like, I understand if this is the first year with Andy Reid and Mahomes and Spags is your defensive coordinator. I get it if it's the first year. And even then, you have to say, you know, Spags has won a Super Bowl before coming to Kansas City. You might know what he's doing. Andy Reid has been to the Super Bowl been at least once. He's been to a lot of conference title games, so maybe that guy knows what he's doing. No, he's an idiot. He doesn't know what day to fly out to Germany. What? But let's talk about some things here. The Chiefs wide receivers, obviously, you know, we joke about it, we talked about it, that if you don't have a true number one quarterback and you rotate quarterbacks, that means you don't have a clear-cut number one quarterback. If you're rotating 6 or 7 wide receivers here close to the midway point of the season, which the Chiefs are doing, doesn't that mean that you don't have a number one wide receiver? Of course they don't. They never have this year. We didn't have it in the offseason. We don't have it, and Juju was not a number one. The Chiefs haven't had a number one since Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs won a Super Bowl without a number one. So let's chill out about the number one part. And also, you have the best tight end in football helps compensate for not having a number one. Here's what I'll argue. They don't have a two either. They don't have a one or a two receiver. And that's really what is hurting this group more than anything. Juju, I'm not sitting here saying the Chiefs should have re-signed him to the 3-year $36 million, which he might be on the block today for trading. He's got bad knees and everything else. Did score a touchdown the other day for the Patriots. But Juju Smith-Schuster was at least your number two receiver, okay? And that's what the Chiefs need to do. They need to find somebody that can elevate to be a true number two. They don't need to be somebody like A.J. Brown. They don't need anybody to be like Tyreek Hill or Jamar Chase. They don't, Justin Jefferson. They don't need that. They proved they didn't need it last year. Yeah. What they need is, and it's interesting, Sky Moore is the whipping boy here the last few days, and we're ignoring two people that are more experienced and should be doing way more. And Sky Moore's in his second year learning the system. I'm not making an excuse of Sky Moore. Sky Moore has not been good. He's dropped two perfect passes on fourth down plays, one against the Lions on 4th and 25. Well covered, but he still could have made the catch. I think he definitely should have caught the one against Denver. I think he just lost it somehow. Yeah. And I know people are human. And then people say, well, why didn't Mahomes check down? Dude, he had a touchdown. If the guy catches it, you're not saying anything.
No, not at all.
How convenient is that for your argument? But the Chiefs need somebody. You got Kelce as your tight end. Best tight end in football. The Chiefs need somebody to elevate their game to where Juju Smith-Schuster was last year. That's 800 and some yards receiving. Mm-hmm. That's what they need. They don't need a 1,000-yard receiver besides Kelce. And with this defense, they don't need maybe even anybody to get 1,000 yards. They don't need to be as good and prolific offensively as they once were. So who's the best candidate to be that number two true wide receiver? Scantling is not that guy. He never will be that guy. He has a track record. He is what he is, okay? He's going to get a few nice catches from time to time. He's not going to have a game where he has 10 catches for 140 yards. Never going to happen. Mark my words, okay? And if I'm wrong, I'll eat crow. I'll be happy to eat crow. Hasn't happened. Won't happen. He is what he is. And he's a number three receiver at best, is Scantling. Okay? He doesn't take the lid off the defenses like they thought when they signed him. That doesn't happen, right? So he's not the guy. Justin Ross isn't even on the team. He's basically suspended by the NFL because of his issue off the field, and he hadn't been doing anything anyway. He's not the answer. We can all agree Sky Moore is not the guy that's going to slide in and be that number two wide receiver, correct?
Yes.
So who we have left? Justin Watson is not a number two. He's a number three or four serviceable. So now who do we have left?
Kadarius Toney.
And?
And Rashee Rice.
Okay.
Got to catch the ball, too.
True. And neither one has caught the ball as well as you'd like.
I like what Rice does when he catches the ball.
Oh, I love it
when
he catches it. So, and Rice actually catches the ball downfield. So, this is showing what people should be concerned about. It's the wide receiving core. Because if your best option to be the number two receiver is Kadarius Toney and Rashee Rice, Rice wins this by default. Kadarius Toney, in seven games last year after the Chiefs traded for him, here were his numbers. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
In seven games, 14 catches, 171 yards, two touchdowns, five carries, 59 yards. In the offseason, we were hearing this stuff about how he's going to be the Chiefs' number one wideout. In eight games, one more game than last year, in a second year in the system, Kadarius Toney's numbers, 19 catches, only 109 yards, less than last year in seven games, one touchdown, less than two a year ago, and he has six carries for negative 5 yards. Is that a number one wideout in your opinion?
It's not in anybody's
opinion.
It's
not a number five.
No, I mean, it's...
I mean, Kadarius Toney, I never thought he would be the number one guy, but I did think he was way better than this. Kadarius Toney with the Kansas City Chiefs averages two catches a game for 20 yards a game in 15 games. That's almost a full season. He averages two catches for 20 yards a game, not even 20 yards a game. And he averages 3 yards rushing per game in 15 games with the Chiefs. He scored a total of four touchdowns. Yes, he had a great punt return in the Super Bowl. Thank gosh for that. So now you're left with Rashee Rice. That's the only guy you have that can be, and I'm not sitting here sitting, see, this is where Chiefs fans are so discombobulated in their head. They're worried about getting a number one receiver. That's not what you have to have. You got to focus on baby steps. We got to find a two. We don't jump from four to one. We got to find a two. Because last year we had a two, and we had some serviceable guys around him and a number one tight end. We've got to have a two. Because we won a Super Bowl last year with a defense that isn't as good as this year's defense. Last year's special teams wasn't as good as this year's special teams. All right? Pacheco's a better running back this year than was last year. The Chiefs all the way around are better than a year ago, except at what position? In my opinion, wide receiver. But what you had a two last year. You had two guys that Patrick Mahomes trusted. It was Kelce and Juju. This is the thing that Chiefs fans should be concerned about, but it doesn't mean they can't figure it out. The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, he is only on the same page with one guy. One guy. And that's Kelce. And we saw what happened when he didn't have him in week one. So, and Mecole Hardman is not a number one wide receiver either. Let's throw him out of the mix, okay? He had one catch for 6 yards in six games with the Jets. All right? He's a gadget player, just like Toney. They have two of the same guy, basically, now. So, Hardman has played with Mahomes for how many years? I don't think they've ever been on the same page yet. Sky Moore, in 2 years of Mahomes, not even close to being on the same page yet. Rashee Rice is better off being on the same page than Mahomes. The problem for him, he just can't catch the ball. Right in the middle of the field, he was on the same page. He read where Mahomes wanted to go, better than Sky Moore. He just got to catch it and not turn up field before you catch it. And I think he'll figure it out. Tony Gonzalez, in his first year in the NFL, had all kinds of drops. And there were sports talk people in Kansas City back in mid-1990s, late 1990s, talking about how Gonzalez is a bust. Because he can't catch the ball. He ended up being a Hall of Famer. So, no, you don't give up. First of all, I don't give up on Sky Moore as a serviceable player. I'm not giving up on Rashee Rice because of some drops. I'm not even going to give up on Kadarius Toney. I'm not giving up on these guys. But what I am going to be is realistic. The only guy out of those three that's going to be a number two wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs football team, there is only one, and it's by default. I've went through the process of elimination. None of these guys are a number two on the Chiefs team or any other NFL team. All right, I'm talking a true number two, a guy that can go out and get eight catches for 100 yards and two touchdowns, because a two will do that from time to time. Mm-hmm. Some twos are really, 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 really good, too. You know, Adam Thielen with the Vikings last year, T. Higgins with the Bengals, you know? The Chiefs need to find a number two. The trade deadline, they shouldn't be looking for trying to hit the home run and getting D-Hop or you know, whatever person you want to throw out there. You know, what they really need is a guy, honestly, to me, they need an Adam Thielen. To me, he's the guy that would be like, he'd be a possession receiver, a guy you could count on. That would be the guy I would want. He's with Carolina, who's 1-4. They're rebuilding. They have a rookie quarterback. Thielen's a little older. I get it. Chiefs wouldn't be on the hook for tons of money and a long contract with Thielen. And he would be, really, honestly, becomes the Juju that you don't have this year. And I'm not saying Juju was a star last year. He had about 800 yards receiving. He missed a few games with injury, but he was at least a second trusted option. I think Mahomes and Thielen, it would take some time to get on the same page, but if you trade for him today and you have Adam Thielen for the next eight games, I think that's enough time. Thielen's a very smart dude. I think it's enough time that Mahomes will really trust Thielen and Kelsey by the end of the year. So that's my nominee for the guy they're going to trade for. But here's what I'm going to bet you. They don't trade for anybody. That's my bet. So the trade deadline is today at 3 o'clock. And the Chiefs are going to trade a wide receiver. Richie James is on IR, and they're trying to work a trade to trade him because Mecole Hardman back, Richie James the odd man out. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced Mecole Hardman's better than Richie James, but I don't know. Richie James has been hurt. He and Hardman both have fumbled a punt inside the 10, so they have that in common.
Yeah.
And Richie James, you know, if you trade him, now you give Hardman a 17 number back, and then Hardman will just go crazy, right? That's why we let him walk in the first place, right? Because he was so good. But if they're going to make a trade, and they don't have a ton of cap space, that's the other thing fans don't understand. We just need to go get D-Hop. We need to just go get Mike Evans. Yeah, first of all, you got to have a willing trade partner. Then what are you going to give up, Mr. Fan GM? Let's just trade Hilaire and Sky Moore for Mike Evans. Yeah, that's going to go over. Come on. You're showing that your football IQ isn't very great, but you act like you know all the answers. So the trade deadline's today. Now, Matthew Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, we've had him on the show many times. He says, DeAndre Hopkins is the most obvious that people would want. Mike Evans would require some cap shuffling. Then maybe Kendrick Bourne of the Patriots, DJ Shark, or KJ Osborne with Minnesota Vikings. He goes, I have a hard time making a 2023 impact case for anyone outside Hopkins or Evans, but you can't rule out a Kadarius Toney-type reclamation trade. Like, there could be some guy that's talented that the Chiefs think could come in, but the Chiefs have proven that they've done this multiple times. They had Josh Gordon. They brought in Le'Veon Bell. They bring in guys, and you think, oh, they're nice names, but they just don't fit, or they can't pick up the system quick enough. And I'm interested to see why Matthew Derrick doesn't have Adam Thielen on that list unless he just believes that he's not on the trade market. And that could be true. It could be the Panthers want Adam Thielen to help Bryce Young develop. And Adam Thielen's been one of his favorite targets. Or maybe they think he's too old. But Thielen would be a guy that I would at least kick the tires on. But odds are the Chiefs are not going to make any moves. Mm-hmm. So for you Chiefs fans that continue to scream and yell about how horrible your receivers are, I hate to break this to you, you're stuck. So your best bet for this team to get better is for Rashee Rice to develop into a number two receiver. That's your best option. And then there might be, from time to time, Scantling might have five catches for 80 yards and a long touchdown. And there might be, you know, Kadarius Toney might get four balls for 60 yards. And there might be a time where Sky Moore has three catches for 73 yards. Sprinkle that in and then run the ball. Do you know how many carries Isaiah Pacheco had against one of the worst run defenses in the National Football League? And the game was a one-score game all the way through until 10 minutes to go in the game after Hardman muffed the punt. Do you know how many carries Isaiah Pacheco had?
Eight! That was a total guess.
He had eight carries, and he averaged 5 yards a carry, and in third and two, we don't give it to him.
Yeah.
He averages 5 yards a carry against a bad run defense. It's like, if you didn't see the game, you'd go, oh, Pacheco, eight carries for 50 yards or whatever that was, 43 yards. Oh, well, we must have been behind the whole game by multiple scores. No, we were down five the whole game, basically, the whole second half. And Andy just decides to, you know, with a guy that has the flu, and I'm okay with keeping the ball in 15's hands, don't get me wrong. But I think you do need to, maybe against a bad run defense, maybe run the ball. When Pacheco runs the ball 10 times or more, the Chiefs are like 16-1. So just give him 10 straight carries to start the game and we're going to win, right? So that's frustrating. And then one other thing I want to throw out there for the people that really, truly don't know anything about football, but yet think they do. The Chiefs' defense didn't play well. Do you know that the Chiefs' defense yielded 3.69 yards per play against the Broncos? Do you know that teams are 71-26 when giving up fewer than 3.7 yards per play? You know the last team before the Chiefs on Sunday in Denver to lose a game when their defense holds the other team to less than 3.7 yards per play? The last team that lost doing that? The Chiefs were the last team to do that So it wasn't the last team. It was the last time the Chiefs did it. 2009. 14 years ago. Okay? Losses by decades when giving up 3.7 yards per play. The Chiefs Sunday were the first one to do it in this decade. It didn't happen in the 2010s. Happened four times in 2000s, four times in the 90s, six times in the 80s, nine times in the 70s, and two times in the 60s. And you're telling me that the Chiefs defense didn't play well. What game do you watch? Russell Wilson threw for a whopping 114 yards. Did the Broncos run for 159? Yeah, and guess what? Total yardage, under 300. In the NFL, that's a hell of a job. And you had three short fields, and Hardman gave you a touchdown against you inside the 10, and another punt return to about the 30. But you want to sit here and tell me the defense didn't play well against the Broncos? Oh, my goodness gracious. What game were you? Did you flip the channels and get some other game that I wasn't watching? They held them to less than 3.7 yards per play. That is outstanding. Here, listen. The Chiefs are going to be perfectly fine. Here's one more for you. This ties in maybe to the wide receiver conundrum. But if the Chiefs figure this one part out, they will. If the Chiefs figure this one part out and stay healthy, they will, mark my words, if they figure this part out, mark my words, I guarantee you the Kansas City Chiefs will be in the AFC title game for the sixth year in a row. This is the area they need to fix. Clearly, you understand. You can't turn over five times. That's obvious. Yes, turnovers got to be solved. And this kind of ties in with it. But if the Chiefs fix this one area, or simply improve to where they usually are in this area in years past, I guarantee you the Kansas City Chiefs will be in the AFC title game again. You ready for it? Last season, the Kansas City Chiefs inside the red zone were the second best offense in all of football. Inside the red zone, the Chiefs were the second best team in football. Against the Denver Broncos, the Chiefs have been inside the red zone seven times and have one touchdown. The Chiefs this year are one of the worst teams in the red zone. They score a touchdown just 33% of the time, or one-third of the time. The only three teams worse than the Chiefs in the red zone Giants, Buccaneers, and Jets. Okay? In regards to scoring points in the red zone, the Chiefs are 18th. But they're fourth the worst when it comes to scoring touchdowns. Okay? Because sometimes they get in the red zone, they kick field goals, they score points. Last season, they were second best. This year, they are one of the worst. Do you really think the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback and Travis Kelce at tight end and Andy Reid at head coach, and you have Pacheco at running back, do you really truly believe the Chiefs will continue to be one of the worst offenses in the red zone the rest of the year? Do you truly believe that, Chiefs Kingdom? Because if you do, then I guess you can start jumping off the cliff right now. Because I don't. I've seen the Chiefs do well in the red zone at times this year. I know they can do it. And is Mahomes being on the same page with his younger receivers part of the issue? Yes. Is play calling a bit of an issue? Perhaps. Converting short yardage? Yes. I don't know if the Chiefs are ever going to fully figure out short yardage situations, but if they figure it out enough, they'll be fine. So it goes back kind of to the obvious thing that Chiefs Kingdom is freaking out about, and I understand being concerned about it. I don't think you need to absolutely freak out about it, but I do understand being concerned about it. It all kind of ties back into what? The wide receiving core. I mean, if you struggle inside the red zone scoring touchdowns, and this is a passing league, then that means that odds are you're going to have to throw the ball to score in the red zone. You've got receivers that aren't making plays. Or your quarterback isn't throwing the ball to the right reads are the right places. So if you want to blame Mahomes, you can. Maybe there's it might be a combination. I think it's a combination of Mahomes and the receivers because they're just not on the same page and comfortable with each other. That's what I think, which is frustrating to me because to me, Scantling and Mahomes should always be on the same page now, or at least most of the time. And him and Hardman should have been on the same page a couple years ago. I understand not being on the same page with Tony and Moore and Rice. I do understand that. Honestly, the guy that Mahomes is the most glued into, besides Kelsey, is a guy that Chiefs fans, yeah, you Chiefs fans that were jumping off cliffs right now, and thank God you're not running this organization, wanted Justin Watson cut for Amir Marset. Justin Watson has been the most reliable receiver for the Chiefs other than Travis Kelsey. That's the guy that Mahomes trusts. That's the guy he takes the deep shot to, not Scantling. So the defense is really good. That's a big reason why the Chiefs are 6-2. The offense hasn't been as good. That's obvious. The offensive line has been fine. Yeah, there's times it's struggled here and there, but overall the offensive line is not the problem. The defense isn't the problem. Special teams was not the problem until Sunday against Denver. It was not good. Hopefully that's just a flash in the pan. Hopefully it just was a bad day at the office for the offense in Denver. And maybe you can just chuck it up to Mahomes was not feeling well because he had the flu. See, this is the other thing that it cracks me up about people freaking out nationally and, of course, Chiefs Kingdom people that freak out. You all know that he had the flu, but yet you think he's Superman. You know, I know Michael Jordan had the flu or food poisoning and went out and had an amazing NBA game. And people joke that Mahomes is going to throw for 7 touchdowns and this will be his flu game. Well, guess what? He's human. All right? You could tell he didn't have as much energy. He played his butt off, but he didn't have that same emotion that you usually see. Well, if you're not feeling well, you're not going to. A lot of us that had the flu the night before wouldn't even go to work the next day. And this guy's playing professional football against a team that wants to beat him really badly. So I'm just sitting here and I'm like, I don't know what else you can say. You went into a buzzsaw. You went in to play a team that was their Super Bowl. They're tired of losing the Chiefs. They played the Chiefs fairly tough 2 weeks prior. Mahomes had the flu. And Chiefs fans are freaking out. Dude, I'll give you a couple things that solves the problems. Mahomes doesn't have the flu. Boom, that's pretty quick solve, isn't it? And then just getting one of those receivers to become a guy he trusts as his number two option right after Kelsey. And you know what? Mahomes developed that fairly quickly with Juju last year. It might take more time this year. And to me, the only guy that's going to provide that option, and this is indeed, and the one part I'll agree with the Chiefs Kingdom about, that is the scary part, is I think you're relying on a rookie. I think your best bet is a first-year rookie player to be your number two guy. Now, that is concerning, because last year you had a veteran in Juju Smith-Schuster, and you knew he had a track record. So, Chiefs fans, your defense is one of the best in the league. Special teams is still one of the top five in the league. Your offense moves it from the 20 to 20. The Chiefs didn't have a problem moving the ball. You know, I mean, they moved the ball against Denver. Maybe Andy Reid could run Pacheco a little bit more. Just a thought. But anyway. K-State men's basketball team is without one of their top players from last year's Elite Eight run. Forward Naquan Tomlin has been suspended indefinitely by Coach Jerome Tang. Tomlin was arrested early Sunday morning for disorderly conduct, brawling, or fighting at Tubby Sports Bar. He was released on a $750 bond. Tomlin started 36 games last season, averaged 10 points and 6 rebounds. Coach Tang suspended Tomlin for not living up to the expectations K-State requires of their players, saying in a statement, and I quote, "Although he is not with the team, he is still part of our family, and we will do what we can to support him as he moves through this process," end of quote. So Tomlin indefinitely suspended by K-State men's basketball. We'll have Brian Smoller on, maybe to talk about that. And K-State football, their big matchup with Texas coming up Saturday. Tomorrow on the Sports Ticket with K-State in Focus, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit, Heineken Electric in Beloit. And we close the show with the NBA news. James Harden is finally gone. The Sixers have cured their cancer. Philadelphia 76ers are trading James Harden to the LA Clippers. Clippers receive Harden, P.J. Tucker, and some other guy. The Sixers receive an unprotected first-round pick in 2028, 2 second-round picks, and a first-round pick swap. And former Jayhawk Marcus Morris is part of this deal as well. 76er fans, you should rejoice and have a party in the streets. You just unloaded a guy that was going to be a malcontent all year long, was going to be a distraction. And are you a better team, you know, win-wise this year without Harden during the regular season? Probably not. But are you a better team probably in the next few years and you can move forward and maybe even make some other moves and bring in somebody, who knows, next year. Or maybe you trade Embiid and you just rebuild this thing, trust the process, and they only once made it to the conference finals. All I know is, Clippers, you're the next one on the list of James Harden's going to really have this honeymoon period with you and love you and love you and love you. And then after about 6 months to a year, he's going to want out. So good luck, Clipper fans. Enjoy James Harden.